Hey everyone, welcome to the kickoff call for the spring into summer sessions. Dana Walsh and Brent here. Hey Dana, how you doing
hey
today?
Hey there. How's my sound quality?
It's great. I like it. That was a good entrance.
I need to check that actually, because I'm coming from my car. Calling
uh-huh.
you my car.
Like it.
Chat, does that sound good? Mark, are you on?
Mark's not on yet. I'll let you know when he comes on. And
okay.
Yeah. So.
So maybe I should explain why I'm in my car. Let me try something
here. Story time. I like it.
Well, you know what? I think you all could appreciate it. Some of you in the last session know that I started getting really sick in my apartment, and I had it tested for EMF levels, and it was literally off the charts. So the only place that's really safe in my apartment is on my kitchen floor, and that's where I'm sleeping. There's also some kind of mold issue. Hang on. Can you hear me?
Oh, I hear you. Great.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so I have been sleeping on my kitchen floor and doing my work inside my car with a Ethernet cable, 25-foot Ethernet cable, so I'm hardwired in my car.
Downstairs from your apartment, down the steps.
That's right. So down the steps, I run it down the stairs, I pull off to the side in front of one of the garages, and I have internet, and it's very low EMFs, and my car I don't react to. Maybe I'll send a picture out at some point. I've really outfitted my car to be my safe zone. I have a bed. It's a small SUV, so I've created a bed, and anyway, it's also becoming my office, but I'm sorry there's a little problem there. My landlord just pulled up right in the front of the garage I'm in front of. So it was an interesting moment. I'm sure you could all relate. They're like, what are you doing? Running a cable from the apartment. Oh my goodness. The life of a sensitive, right?
That's right.
Yeah. You know what? We do what we need to do. That's the end of the story. And we do it unapologetically.
That's right. So Mark's on now, Dana. So we're at the full
Mark.
Party.
Yeah, I'm here, Dana.
Oh, hey. Great. Thanks so much. So at any time,
you're
if
welcome.
There's a problem with my sound, please let me know. Guys?
Will do.
Can you? Okay, great. Hi. You copy me? Thank you, Mark. Thanks for joining. Gosh, you guys, here we go again. I love it. We just keep going with these beautiful sessions, because as long as we get testimonials of people saying this has changed their life, we're going to keep going. So thank you for that. So today we're going to jump in. It's 12:37 my time. I'm going to try to squeeze all this into an hour. You have written in your questions. Thank you very much. So we're going to do an overview, and then we will answer some of your written in questions and try to fit all this within an hour, a little bit over possibly. Mark, what is your timing like?
I can give you as much time as you want.
Okay.
I can give
Again,
you an hour
I
and
always,
half if you want it. I know. We don't want to overwhelm people.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I always say information isn't our problem. You know, we've got a lot of information. So I'd like to leave everybody with a few gems, a few nuggets to take home and to apply. And then I'd invite you into this session where we'll be together for the next 5.5 weeks. And we always go longer. And you just know that you have a support team for all that time, and you can really integrate what you learn. That's information, that's the most important part, right? Information doesn't really do anything unless you can integrate it into your life. So today we're talking about the mighty liver. Oh my goodness. What a hard-working organ that is, huh? So such a big player. We need to be very, very grateful to our livers. The reason we focus on the liver in the spring session, because in Chinese medicine, it is indicated this time of year, the liver is, it needs support, and it's also, well, the liver always needs support, but it's kind of the time to start cleansing the liver. We're coming out of the cold season. It's, you know, produce is coming up. The green foods are alive, right? It's becoming green. The herbs, the spices, the lettuces, right? This is spring, and this is the time that we're going to support and cleanse our liver lovers. And how I want to look at this as a global subject today is the problem with congestion. Now, congestion in your body just basically means it's too crowded with waste, too crowded with foods that are not digesting, too crowded with fecal matter. Sorry, guys. Just really backed up and congested. And with that comes stagnation, and your whole life kind of slows down. Now, as well, there's congestion in your emotional body, the liver in Chinese medicine. The emotion of anger and resentment are said to be held in the liver. So congestion of emotion, stuck emotion in the liver. Then there is, I love this part, then there's the congestion of stuffication. I call it stuffication. It's when your stuff, your physical belongings are crowding and suffocating you. So in prep week and all the way through the whole session, we're going to invite you to clean out a closet, clean out a cupboard, clean out your supplements, make space. That's what we're doing in this session. We're clearing congestion and making space so you can move around. Are you feeling that, guys? It's just
absolutely.
Making
no question.
More space. Yeah, so it's like making space in your body. It's like I'm thinking of when you do an enema or a colonic, and it's just that empty, light feeling. It's incredible. But most of us walk around just really burdened, so burdened with all the things I just mentioned, just toxicity in your body, toxicity in your thinking and your emotions, and then this piece about too much stuff. Now, I do want to say that before Marie Kondo came out with The Magic of Tidying, God bless her beautiful little soul there. She's like a little angel fairy. I always ask people to do some kind of cleaning of their stuff in the spring session as well. We talk about, right, spring cleaning in the house. This is time to declutter. Now, Marie Kondo, I don't know if you guys, are you too familiar with her? She now has a Netflix series.
Yeah, I know it really well.
I've been told many times I should read her stuff and apply it.
I've seen her talking on YouTube.
I've been saying that to you for a while before her book came out.
That's right. That's right.
So if you guys are interested, obviously most of you probably know about her Netflix series. It's about the magic of decluttering and the changes that come in. So let's go back. Let's talk about the congestion in our body, in our liver, okay, this mighty organ. Let's first talk about what the liver does. Detox. It's a major player in the detox system of your body. It plays a huge role in digestion, blood sugar, energy, hormone balance, and nourishment. So, and the list goes on and on. We need to have our livers functioning to feel better. And some of the things that happen when your liver is overloaded and toxic, you might feel hungover. I mean, I feel like so many of us with chronic illness and Lyme disease, if we move outside of our little margin there with diet or, you know, put out too much energy in a day, we can get tip the scales, right? And we end up feeling hungover the next day, even though it has nothing to do with alcohol. That kind of hungover feeling is very liver related. Mark, please jump in at any point. Itchy, rashes, skin problems, fatigue, dry skin. Eyes are
Dana,
associated.
One of the,
yes.
Dana, one of the things.
Hello?
Can you hear? I see Mark still on here. Mark, we don't hear you
okay.
Right now. You cut out.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Right. Hear me?
One of the things.
The word
yep.
hangover is misleading because most people are only going to associate that with alcohol. But hangover, you know, with all the sensitive people, that the toxicity in their body makes them feel terrible. And we're going to explain all that liver physiology so that people understand that it could be from chemicals or anything.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, Dana.
Hello?
We hear you,
Dana.
Can
you guys hear me?
Yeah, I can hear both of you. So hangovers apply to things other than alcohol.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Brent, I'm getting a feedback and hear my voice.
We hear you fine. We hear you fine, Dana, but all of a sudden there's a Mark echo.
You want me to hang up and call back on another phone?
I don't think it's you.
Oh, okay.
Dana, do you hear us okay? I hear you fine.
I hear you.
I don't
okay
hear the
now.
Echo anymore. Okay.
So we were talking about the hangover, that yeah. feeling of being hungover in the liver has nothing to do with alcohol. Go on.
Well, I'm just saying it could come from anything, so I don't want people that have been – I have people that have been very healthy, not had any alcohol, any drugs, and if they're around cleaning products or any kind of chemicals – or they just eat the wrong food for their body, they will feel out of it, like a hangover. And so I use the word broadly, not solely related to alcohol or drugs.
No, that's what I said. Most of us don't even touch alcohol. It has nothing to do with that, but it's that feeling of a sick and burdened liver. And that's what's so interesting. It's kind of not fair. You got the hangover feeling, but none of the fun. And I will get to all the things that, like you said, Mark, of, you know, chemicals, et cetera. But some of the more issues with liver toxicity, you know, eyes, we bring up eyes in this session a lot because the eyes are on the liver meridian. And I'm really finding it so interesting. The more toxic and congested I get, the more I'm having blurred vision. So we really go into that in this session as well. Headaches, Mark, headaches and migraine, very connected to the liver. Do you want to jump in on that for a second?
Sure. So if we take away all head or body injuries, almost every headache is going to have a liver, mostly liver with large intestine connection. And you think of the large, people are then going to go, well, it's my large intestine. It's like, well, the toxicity in your large intestine gets filtered through your liver. So we know that anytime I see someone with any kind of headaches, intermittent or chronic or migraine, I'm going to be trying to clean up their liver. And usually the headaches are gone relatively quickly. But notice what people take for their headaches. They take some kind of medicine that says, if you read the cautions, could be hard on your liver. So everybody's normal medical prescriptions or non-prescriptions, you know, even with Advil or whatever, you want to be careful doing it because it's hard on the liver for everyone. So again, we're dealing with liver in a lot of different ways.
Yes, yes. Some more indicators, nausea, right? Nausea, mm-hmm. that goes along with that's typically a gallbladder issue, but liver and gallbladder are basically the same. All the sensitivities, light, smell, sound. And then we'll talk some more about this later, but a bad temper, anger, or resentment, being kind of stuck in that loop is very indicated with the liver. So let's talk a little bit about the things that congest, plug up, back up, make toxic our livers. Now, when I was off, Mark, I heard you talking a little. When I came back too, I heard you say something about the chemicals. So without question, our chemical exposure these days is just outrageous. I mean, I go completely nuts when I am surrounded by dryer sheets, right? The dryer sheets from all the apartments around me on the weekends. I'm just sick, nauseated, upset. So perfumes, dryer sheets, air fresheners, pollution, right? Just from the cars and the heavy metals in the air. Geez, we could go on. But with chronic illness and Lyme, there's also the waste from the pathogens, and that's going on all day, every day. So where the everyday healthy person is still having to keep up with keeping their liver healthy, we have to work even that much harder because we're creating all this toxicity from the inside. Obviously, drugs and alcohol are a problem, very toxic to the liver, and certainly certain pharmaceuticals, as you just mentioned, Mark, can be intense for the liver. Poor digestion, that's something that people don't think about enough, is the metabolic waste from poor digestion causing that backup, that bloating, and all that goes with that. And then, of course, chronic stress hormones on the liver, really, really awful. I'm going to quote Anthony William. He said, adrenaline and stress hormones pickle the liver. How's that for a visual? So this is not to scare anybody, but getting stress under control and getting your emotions under control is so big. So, so big. Do you want to add something there, Mark?
Well, I think that what people do is they think of it as a one assault, and you have to think of it as multiple assaults. So literally, I tell people keep a list, and maybe that you may have 10 things, you may have 20 things, you have whatever you have, and then start to, you know, with that list, figure out what are your worst ones, and then put them at the top. So if you know that handling visiting with relatives is one of the worst because people were getting near holidays, then you know that stress could be really bad. That goes at number one, but it isn't there all the time. Whereas obviously all the people that are chemically sensitive, they don't walk into Macy's and walk past the perfume counter because they get sick, and they tell me that. So they know their top assaults, and then you will try and cut out as many as possible and try and figure out if you could. So let's say you have 20 different assaults and you cut out 10 of them, your liver then maybe won't be bearing that load, and maybe the other tools you're using to detox it will start to work. But you need to reduce assaults of any kind, emotional or physical or biochemical, as fast as possible.
Yes, and that's, I want to get to that. That's what we call unburdening the liver. That's how we get out of this. So I want to go back to some of the things that really, really congest our livers, right? So somebody wrote in and said, what are the top worst things I could eat and do for my liver? And I wanted to say some of these things. Not that you all do this, but just a reminder, fried foods are so hard on the liver gallbladder. Just, I've watched loved ones just go into complete gallbladder attack from some fried foods. Bad oils, bad fats. Now we're going to talk some more about fats because there's a lot of people are confused about fats, and there's a lot of different schools of thinking around fats, but we'll share our perspective. But bad fats like hydrogenated oils are just pure evil, right? On every level.
Yep.
Really horrible for your liver. Vegetable oils are very unstable. And they're sitting in a grocery store and they're under the lights and they oxidize very quickly. Cooking oils, vegetable oils, like stuff like if anybody's using Wesson, it's pure evil. Get rid of that stuff. Now, another thing that people don't really think about enough is bad food combining, just eating 10 different types of foods and proteins and fats in one meal. And it just overwhelms your digestive system and causes that metabolic waste we've been talking about. And at some point, Mark, we'll talk about liver heat and what that means. But I want to go into the fats. I want to talk about fats right off the bat here. You know, I listen to everybody. I want to say this. I listen to everybody, and then I take the information in the moment when it makes sense for my body. Now, there's some things that are rules, Mark, and we always teach rules. And rule number one is tune into your body, time, place, and moment, right? So celery juice, Anthony William, you know, talking about celery juice, can be appropriate and can be very helpful. But if you are feeling weak and you're cold and you're, you know, in the middle of winter in Philadelphia, might not be the best thing. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. What we're doing is trying to help people realize that we're all different and we're all unique. So people know that, because there's many Lyme people that we're talking to right now that are more sensitive to smells or sounds or whatever. So we know that the same thing with solutions, especially with solutions like celery juice is an example. A lot, generally, this on these calls, there's more women than men, and generally women are colder than men. And if they're colder and they do celery juice and they get freezing cold, I'm not saying celery juice is bad. I'm not criticizing. I'm saying find the right things for your body at this time. And that's why if you listen instead of follow a rule, your body will tell you, you know, every time I have that, I'm freezing cold. And then when I'm cold, I can't digest my food really well. Then I'm burning up nutrients trying to stay warm. So, and then there's many other consequences that I'm not going to go into. So I want people to listen and be responsible to themselves, not to an authority, not to you or me, Dana, because we're always teaching people. Your body knows best what works for you. That's what everyone needs to learn.
That's right. That's the rules that we're saying. The rule is you are the first and last word on what's going on with your body. And I want to just bring this up because I do love Anthony and I do feel like he has some good information. But again, time, place, and body. So the example is I just ran into this woman at Good Earth. She's in her late 70s. We laughed because we look the same. We were all bundled up in sweaters and a little knit hat. And I said, oh, you look like me. And she said, oh, I'm so freezing cold. It's been very cold here for this spring. And I said, I looked in her, she had her cart and she had green juices. She was drinking a green juice. And I said, oh, you must be so cold. How are you handling the green juice? She's like, oh, I'm so freezing. I have to put on my long johns. I'm shaking all the time. And I said, wow, is that celery juice? She said, oh, yeah, I do it all the time. And that's great. But she was getting sick from it. And she was freezing cold. And she said, oh, my nutritionist said I need to be eating more grounding foods, like some animal products. But she said, she was basically saying, Anthony would say that's wrong. So it's really interesting how we make things gospel, right? And I think that's where it gets to be a little dangerous. Now, Mark, let's talk about, let me back up. I want to make sure I finish with the fats here, because that's something Anthony's really talking about, is to heal your liver, you have to pull back on fats. And I would totally agree to pull back on fats in the spring. I think it's a really good time to unburden your liver. But I wanted to say not all fats are the same. So the things that we talk about in this session are MCT fats like coconut oil or ghee. Those fats don't require they don't require bile for digestion. So they're just easier. Now, I'm not saying have a lot of it, but those are the fats that you can have a little bit. Now, if you have a really congested liver and gallbladder, yes, I wouldn't even have oils. I would have fatty foods, like I could have an avocado, but I wouldn't have concentrated foods, right, Mark? So like concentrated fats can be really hard if you're having a gallbladder issue.
Well, Dana, I think what you're also saying, and I'm going to get a little technical for just a second. The main thing that we have with anyone that's toxic is what's called non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And you'll see references, you know, in all kinds of literature to NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. That can come from eating bad food, from not digesting well, from chemical exposure. I have painters that have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, and they've never had any alcohol. So when your liver is burdened, that's all you're talking about, I'm giving you a technical way to say, gee, I'm not digesting well. My liver is congested. That's what non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is. So if I add more things to it when it's already congested, I will get a bad reaction. You're not going to die. I didn't say you have liver disease and you're going to die. I'm saying this is an indicator about why those things don't work for most people that are sick chronically.
Yep, absolutely. And so I want to go back to what you said about poor digestion. It's like, oh my goodness, really? I could create a fatty liver from what I've been eating? Yes. Even if the person's eating quote unquote good food. That's what's so interesting. But if you're not, I always want to read this here. If you're not digesting fats, fats go rancid, proteins putrefy, and sugars ferment. So if your food is not digesting and you're not utilizing it and getting rid of the waste, it's backing up your system, right? And as we said, of all the other assaults, it gets overwhelming. You know, there's this interesting kind of scary syndrome called auto-brewery syndrome, where people actually ferment. If they have certain carbohydrates, they ferment enough that they create ethanol in their body where they're actually drunk. Sorry, guys. I'm out in the parking lot here. So, yeah, we have to remember that poor digestion is such a big deal. And to me, we take the simple route, and that is we start by unburdening, Mark, and that's what you just were saying a little bit earlier. How do we unburden the liver instead of going in with a big, heavy cleanse, which there's already, your liver's already compromised, and pushing the liver to cleanse can be detrimental, and we'll talk about that. But how do we unburden the liver? So everything you just spoke about, how do you clean up your environment? Staying away from toxic environments, right? Mark, can you speak to, you know, what happens when I smell the dryer sheet and I feel sick, or anybody smells perfume, or it's not just smelling it, you're breathing that into your body.
You're whether it's on your skin, whether you breathe it through your, you know, through your sinuses, through your nasal passages, or whether you ingest it, it's still coming into the body. So however it enters, it doesn't matter. And given that people that are sick have, so that's exogenous, external. If you have stuff, if you have any internal, which everyone sick does, that's endogenous. That's the poop and the pee from the bugs and a bunch of other things. So you want to try and limit. We just talked about earlier, limiting your exposure. So it can come from the air. It can come from the water. It can come from anything. And it's not like you're a bad person. It's just you have to say, oh, everything that assaults me makes me pay a price. My liver screams, i.e. I get headaches, I get rashes, I get whatever these symptoms are. Your symptoms are as important as anyone else's symptoms. There's not a right thing, and your body has its own limitations. So it's not wrong that you don't get the other symptoms that other people have. Your body has its own unique permutations and variabilities. We have to support those.
Yes. I will say that, you know, finding a good environment is challenging, right? It's very challenging. Like, I'm sitting in my car right now because I don't feel good in my apartment. And it's not subtle. It's not a subtle thing. I feel very sick. I feel nauseous. My lymph fills up. I get a metallic taste in my mouth. So it's not a subtle thing. So unburdening and finding a good environment is challenging, but I will tell you, when you find that environment, like I do sitting in my car and then I drive up to the mountain and I get off grid for a minute, everything starts to work. Your body is so ready to work. It really is. So, you know, you don't have to do a big, heavy detox liver cleanse to start getting it to detox. Right? So some of these most gentle, like forest bathing, grounding, that just starts the whole system to work better. Now let's talk about, Mark, one of the emails I put out was Lyme is a big disease, so we all think we need a big treatment that hurts. And detox should be painful. And, you know, after 20 years of dealing with it, I don't agree with that. I feel like gentle is better. So let's talk about, Mark, if somebody has a very congested liver, they're constipated, they usually go hand in hand, right? What happens if someone's like gung-ho and they're like, I'm going to do a huge cleanse and I'm going to do all juices and I'm going to do a ton of herbs and I'm going to just clean it out. What could possibly happen there if they're backed up? So let's talk about that osmotic gradient and putting more of a burden on a taxed liver already.
Well, the problem is for everyone that we can't give you a number, a metric, about what percentage your liver is having difficulty. But you know it by listing your symptoms. So any symptoms you have currently or have had in the last even number of years, rashes, et cetera, those are your indicators, your individual indicators, about when you can't handle the threshold. So instead of just saying, okay, I'm going to take these herbs, I'm going to be taking Silymarin because it's good for the liver, and I'm going to be taking – people all the time are saying, what about this, what about that? I want to know what about their health and what about their patterns are so that I can help them prepare for that and so that they don't run into these things. Because what you're doing – we'll get into it a little bit later – but you have three phases of the liver that have to go through detoxification, P450, cytochrome, phase one and phase two. Should have been called phase one, phase two, phase three, doesn't matter. This is what they're called. Well, the reality is when you're pushing a detox pathway with herbs, supplements, lasers, magnets, whatever you're doing, you're asking those phases to kick in at a higher level. And if you have current symptoms, I guarantee you those phases are near overload most of the time. So what you don't want to do, and that's why I use the coffee filter analogy. It's the only one I know that people understand. You take that cup of you take the cup and you put that little paper or metal filter down and you put the coffee in there and you start pouring the coffee through. You start pouring the water through. Well, you have to pour at a rate that doesn't overwhelm the filter. And that's called a flow rate. And a flow rate is basically saying that your coffee filter can only handle so much water every second. Well, your liver has got the same kind of thing. It's basically a filter. When you want to throw a lot of water on that filter really quick, it's going to overload. It's going to backflow. It's going to cause you symptoms. So that's why I'm always cautioning people because they get into, oh, detox is all good. Not really, because if it overloads phase one, phase two, phase three, or P450 cytochrome, whatever you want to call it, you're going to have bad symptoms and some of the byproducts of when you overload are more toxic than the stuff that you're putting in your body. So I'm always saying detox, yeah, everybody's telling me I want to do, you know, spirulina, chlorella. And I'm going, at what rate is your body currently filtering? When are you hitting a threshold? And what are your symptoms? Then you don't say, wow, I did this thing that my best friend got a good result with, and why can't I get a good result? Because everyone's chemistry is different. And the one thing we haven't mentioned is you have to mechanically move things through your body. So if you're not able to, because of pain or suffering or anything, to move well, you can't walk a decent distance, you can't move because your environment is oppressive, you know, that's going to also limit your flow rate. So you need to move all that at the rate that your individual body can handle. And when you exceed that, you will be screaming. Something will happen. So I always want people to, instead of putting everything as all good, they have to say, what are the good things that work only for my body right now?
Yes, 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 yes. And there's so much in what you just said. I want to go back to phase one, phase two, phase three without really getting into it too much. But phase one is the initial cleanup the liver goes through with toxins. So that process creates high levels. You there?
We hear you.
Oh, there was a big sound. So that creates a high level of free radicals. And then phase two breaks those toxins down further to remove them out of the body. And then phase three really what's required for phase three is the ushering out of all those toxins. That's the peristalsis. That's the elimination that is requires good water, good fiber, and bile. So we kind of flip that thing upside down and we focus on good water, fiber, and good healthy bile to get the bottom cleaned out. Okay, so we want to talk about that osmotic gradient, Mark. So if you decide to push a liver cleanse and you are constipated and backed up, and you, let's say you decide to do a gallbladder flush, for example, and you are not eliminating on the lower end, your colon is not eliminating, not able to receive all the waste in a healthy way, what can happen there?
Well, people end up getting, people get very sick, you know, and obviously we don't want people to have these symptoms, so people can start vomiting uncontrollably. They can get serious. They could have headaches or body pain that's so severe. And then what they will usually do is they'll have to take some kind of medication because they're feeling so bad. And that medication is hard on the liver. So it's like, you want to go at a rate, you want to pour your water through the filter at a rate that it will handle it, so that you think of your liver the same way. I don't push the river, I get out of the way, and I go at the rate that my body can push this out easily. So you're talking about not just water, but you're also talking water and minerals to get that gradient right. But then you have to physically move a little, even a little, just march in place. I'm not telling people to go out and run a mile. I'm saying just march in place around your apartment or anything you can do to move. And if you're too limited because you're in too much pain, maybe you take a warm bath, or you take a warm shower. Obviously, don't do too much of anything, but you have to create some circulation to move all this stuff through your body. Otherwise, it will get stuck, and then your favorite place of pain will probably flare up, and you'll say, oh, my hips, my back, my neck. You know, something will start hurting because it's all backing up instead of going out.
That's right. So we also talk about the different tools to use. Let's say someone is gung-ho and they want to, I'm going to bring up coffee enemas because that's a very famous and useful tool for liver detox. Now, again, if someone is severely toxic and they're going to do a coffee enema that's going to squeeze the liver at a rapid rate, very effective, but if you can't eliminate out the other end, I've heard many people getting very sick. And if you have a gallstone that you don't know about, sorry, there's a lot of noise there, Mark. I don't know if you were Brent. So what we always say is coffee enemas are fantastic, a graduate tool, is what you say, Mark. It's a fantastic graduate tool. What we would recommend is make sure your hydration is in place first. Make sure you're eliminating. Please start with water enemas to get the bottom out. Remember, this is plumbing. So if you look at the liver is above and the colon is below, you've got to get the plumbing below to leave before you can start dumping all the stuff from above. This is something Klinghart talks about too. It's just this osmotic gradient of getting the bottom to drain first. So I think that's some of what you were talking about there. Now, with the phase one, phase two, if someone's taking a really strong phase one detoxifier, and they don't have phase two in place. Remember, phase one is an oxidizing process, and it makes incredible free radicals. It makes a toxin that was toxic before even more toxic. So you have to have phase two in place. And that's some of the problems when people do just willy-nilly liver cleanses. They don't know if they have phase two in place to get rid of the more concentrated toxins. People talk about phase two, what's required is sulfur or cruciferous vegetables. I'm getting a lot of slap back. Are you guys?
Nope.
Okay.
Not at all.
Okay. So what does this all look like? Okay. So what does this look like? Let's pull it way back. And to me, the thing to do when you're overwhelmed, congested, is just to pull back and simplify. And that's what we do in these programs. We focus on hydration. Can we talk about hydration? And literally, if you think about a toxic environment, it's very dry. I had one practitioner say, your lymph is like a dry riverbed. It's like you cannot expect to move toxins out of your body if you are dry. You've got to get the rivers flowing, right? So hydrating your body so everything can flush out. So we start with hydration. We want to make sure everybody understands that hydration is not just water, it's minerals and moisture. Good, meaning good fats will hold in the moisture in your body. Do you want to speak to that a little bit, Mark?
Yeah, well, remember, every cell is like a donut. Fat, water, fat. So you have fat on the inside, you have fat on the outside, and it creates a seal to hold the water. And we want the water to really mean electrolyte-rich water. So it's electrolyte-rich fluids, right? So if people understand that if their liver is congested and they're not conjugating a fat, breaking a fat down, then your cells look really bad because you've been putting lots of water in, maybe even put the electrolyte minerals in, but if your healthy fats aren't absorbing, then the water's not absorbing. You're not holding it in the cells. How would you know that instead of me giving you science? Your lips are cracked, your skin is dry, you get rashes, you know, you look at your tongue in the mirror and it's severely cracked. And I've had people literally drinking almost a gallon of water a day, and they have these symptoms. You know, your heels are cracked. So you're saying, if the garden looks dry, I'm going to add more water. Well, all these people that see me are already adding water. Then I try and get them to add minerals in many cases, and sometimes that works. But then if I don't get them to break down a fat and absorb it, and there's many ways to know when they're not doing that, then the water's really not going in the cells and doing the job it should do. So it's really a combination of many variables. And obviously you need the appropriate fats, we've talked about that, but you need fats metabolized for your body. And if you have non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or you're exposed to too many things, or your stress is high, or you have vertebral imbalances that are putting pressure on your liver, you could be doing everything perfect, and one of those variables could give you symptoms, and you're saying, but I'm drinking, I'm having good fats, I'm having minerals, why am I not absorbing? We have to figure that out. So you need those variables for sure.
Yes. And so, you know, I don't want to confuse people. Like, now, don't be afraid of fats. Obviously, you'll know. Somebody asked me, how do I know if I have gallbladder issues? I'm like, it is not subtle. It's not subtle in the slightest. Gallbladder issues, you have pain in the area of the gallbladder, the right side. Lower right side, just near your liver. And then another indicator is shoulder pain, when you have the pain in the side at the same time. Nausea, you can actually throw up. It's not subtle. So it's not to be afraid of fats. Just know what fats work for you. Flax, hemp, coconut, chia is something I love. Chia has beautiful spread of omega-3s. It also has the incredible gentle fiber, and it actually acts as a binder. It can really pull toxins out. So that's something I really love to recommend in these programs. So I wanted to share a little bit how we approach this cleanse. So one of the things that we try to drive home, you can nourish and cleanse at the same time. Now, I'm not going to say that it's not a good idea to do a big cleanse, like a raw food cleanse or a juice cleanse. I think that's all fantastic at the right time and place if you're feeling strong enough. Now, you can do cleansing foods half the day, and then you can do building foods the second half of the day. And what I mean by building foods are good quality proteins, good quality fats. I like certain broths, whether it's a vegetable broth or a bone broth. I don't like long cooked bone broth. I like the shorter cooks for Lyme patients, but building and cleansing at the same time is really kind of the most balanced, painless way to do it. And how we do that is we don't ask you to stop all the things you're eating. If you're eating sugar and if you're eating dairy and gluten and all these things in a day, we wouldn't ask you to just stop that cold turkey. That would be really hard on your system. Mark, do you want to speak to that? Like, if we asked you to just, okay, stop everything cold turkey, that in itself can throw you into,
So let's be clear about one thing. Everybody's rate at which they can handle change is dependent on too many variables for any of us to say that to you. That's why when I'm working with people individually, I have to find out what they can currently handle, both emotionally, physically, financially, and biochemically. But if you go to, many people do this, you go to, I'm going to cut out all these bad things, and I'm going to start doing nothing but these good things. So people want to limit their lives. They want to get rid of the bad and put in the good. But your body is going to have to detox, and if you push it that hard, you better be prepared for the detox response when your body can't sustain it. The other thing is, most people have been getting their energy from whatever foods they've been doing. I'm not saying it's healthy energy. I'm not saying it's optimal. But if you're getting energy from carbohydrates or sugars or alcohol or anything, and your digestive processes aren't as effective, and you cut out those energy sources, and I'm not talking about the quality of the energy. I'm saying you're going to fall flat. Your blood sugar is going to crash, which is going to crash your immune system. You're probably not flushing as well. Let's use coffee. It's a classic example. People say, oh, I know coffee is bad for me. But about 90% of the people that drink coffee say it makes them have a bowel movement. Well, if you've been doing that for 20 years and you cut out coffee and you get constipated and you're saying, but I did the good thing. I cut out the coffee and now I'm backed up. I'm going once every 3 days. I feel horrible. And sometimes I have a little sip of coffee because it makes me have a bowel movement. You know what? Keep the coffee in until you get your colon regulated. You cut it out all at once, you get toxic from holding on to your fecal matter, you're going to have another problem that we have to deal with. So you don't have to, but I'm going to strongly suggest you stage your withdrawal from things and you have the appropriate tools in place so that when you withdraw from whatever you're doing, you have a tool to correct it. So if you're sugar addicted, you better find another way to make your liver work better so you maintain your ATP or your cellular energy. If you're addicted to something like coffee, instead of judging yourself and causing yourself a problem, figure out another way to get the electrolytes in. Figure out another way to hydrate. Figure out another way to maintain peristalsis. Then you can slowly withdraw from these things without consequences.
Yeah, so they can figure it out by tuning into their body, but that's what we're sharing here, is we're teaching how to just start crowding out the bad stuff. So you don't stop having the coffee. You don't stop having the pastry and all that. Not in the beginning. In the beginning, the first thing we do is get hydrated. That's just number one. Like we ask that you stay on your normal diet and just start drinking more of the appropriate water and electrolytes just to start that motion. Some people, that's enough for them, right? Some people start feeling off just from hydrating. But then we add in these mineral-rich foods and broths. Still eat your normal diet, but add in these mineral-rich broths to support your body. And as you always say, Mark, once you start getting and absorbing your food from these simplified foods like a soup, when you start absorbing the nutrients, the cravings will go down for the other things. And you're starting to have a normal, natural energy instead of this carbohydrate sugar high, right? So
correct.
I love what you say about that. Don't take away, and you know, coffee is something that that we talk about a lot in this session because I love coffee. But this time of year, I basically drink an espresso every morning. But this time of year, I taper it way down or completely gone. I've done it every year since we've done these sessions. I eliminate coffee, but the way I do it is more hydration. And then I have a whole method of tapering off the coffee and then having other ways, higher B vitamins for the energy, other ways to increase peristalsis instead of using coffee, right, Mark? Like you just said.
The other thing about coffee, everybody's telling me, oh, well, the pH is bad. Well, you know, I think when you water things down, so let's say you've been having two or three cups of coffee a day, but you've only been having two glasses of water. You take and we want electrolyte-rich fluids. We always say that. That's why vegetable juices and soup broths matter. But if you had six glasses of vegetable juice, healthy stuff, soups, whatever, you're now going to start diluting down your ratios. So dilute it down, and then you will slowly push out the coffee, and you will not go through withdrawal. Or I've seen that many, many times with people that drink too many diet sodas. So I have a lot of women, more women than men, and they're using diet sodas for the obvious reasons. And if they try and stop that, they go through severe headaches, like really bad. And I'm going, okay, let's increase your other healthy fluids. And if they can have 2 glasses of healthy fluids per every glass of the other stuff, suddenly they find themselves leaving most of the soda, leaving most of the coffee. They find themselves withdrawing on their own, and they're listening to their body. That's the key to the whole thing. Listen to your body, and you won't want to have those things, and then you won't have the withdrawal reactions.
And that's why we do this really slowly. That's why this is a 6-week program, because the first thing is just to open space, get clear on what you're doing. The first couple weeks is about getting hydrated, adding in the mineral-rich foods, balancing blood sugar, and then by the third, I think it's the third week, we look at just starting to pull back on things like the obvious, the 7, right? The sugar. Dairy for a lot of people is a very congesting food. Gluten, et cetera, et cetera. Eggs can be a problem for some people. So what I invite you to do is look at the list of the 7 and see the ones that's the top for you, and maybe take 1 or 2 and pull back on those. Again, coffee is on that list too. You can look at pulling back on that. But that's after you have been adding in the good habits. And, you know, again, I do this every year with you, and I'm always feeling so fantastic. I've had the most stressful time. It doesn't seem to be slowing down in my life, but I literally have put on almost 10 pounds. And I know it's my liver. I know the stress hormones stress hormones are not easy to process, Mark. Maybe we should talk about that and how catabolic they are to the system and how hard they are on the liver. In a constant state of stress, we're really doing ourselves a disservice.
Not only are we doing ourselves a disservice, but it slows down the detoxification pathway, because you're adding some neurochemicals, you're adding your hormones, stress hormones, that are really, you said the word catabolic, they do damage. And so your liver is going to say, well, you're eating a perfect meal, you're doing this, but those stress hormones of whatever the emotional or physical stress is, takes priority for your detoxification pathways. And those stress hormones will always be damaging tissue, but they also, when those stress hormones are out, your immune system slows down, if not stops. So not only are you adding more waste to the system, but you're slowing down the detoxification pathway. You're depleting your B vitamins. You're getting your blood sugar all messed up. And when your blood sugar's messed up, then you're going to, everyone will crave crap. Everyone will need to get themselves out of the crash that they're in. Their pain will go up. So it's really important that you look at, I try and get people to understand that I think physical, emotional stress is probably more detrimental to people than some of the things they're eating, because I have all these people that are eating well, but their lives are stressful. People don't understand what you're going through. People just keep loading things on to sick people and not realizing how much of a stress it is emotionally.
Well, that's so interesting. You think about that cycle too, where you're stressed out, your liver's getting thrown, everything's getting thrown off. Your blood sugar is then compromised. Then you're just craving the bad foods. And then you get yourself in that whole cycle, right? That's true for a lot of everyday people, right? It's just this crash and burn, right? Up, down, up, down.
That's all they go through. And then they blame themselves, saying, I don't have willpower. And I say, no, your biochemistry is trying to keep you in survival. And when your blood sugar crashes too low, you're in really serious trouble. So instead of saying, I'm not strong enough, I don't have enough willpower, I don't know why I'm not committed, I go, maintain your blood sugar, maintain hydration, and guess what? Your brain will work better, and you'll be able to execute on the goals that you have in terms of your eating and your cooking and all like that. But when I'm starving, I have no discernment, literally no discernment. That's why I can't be around the stuff. So when my blood sugar crashes by an emotional thing, if I'm around sweet things, that's all I'm going to want. It doesn't matter how much knowledge you have. I have to immediately put in the good things that I have. I have to give myself at least 20 to 30 minutes to get out of the crash. Sometimes it takes me an hour. Then I can start thinking about what I really want to eat. So I have emergency food around, whether it's protein powders or healthy vegetable juices. I have things around that I know this will bail me out when I'm starting to go down. And I have to have those things available. Otherwise, I will go to the crap.
Yeah. You know, I want to say something about that, too. If you, absolutely, that's the cycle right there. Where we all know that one. But then there's the people that are the good students, right? Like the little woman in the health food store who was freezing cold and refused to go outside of the box, right, that she was currently in. So there's the people that are really good students, and they're dedicated to what they think is a perfect diet, and they don't stray one bit. But they're in a toxic marriage. They're in a toxic environment at work. They're codependent. They're, you know, so it's very difficult. It doesn't mean that you stop doing those good behaviors. It's just that it's really important to look at this emotional piece over and over. And a lot of times the emotions follow a thought that you have, and either about yourself or the other person. And that's why I brought in Byron Katie. I don't know if you're all familiar with Byron Katie. She has a process called The Work. I spent 9 days with her in Ojai a few years ago. It was life-changing. But she asks you to inquire about the thoughts you're thinking. And honestly, just stopping in a moment and saying to yourself, is that actually true? I use the example of the doctor ignored me. Was it true that the doctor ignored you, or did he have 20 other patients, and did he have his own family emergency? We can't know these things, and we can't take everything personally. So I love this work, and I love that we are going to practice some of this work in our huddles calls in this program. It's really worked beautifully. You guys get to talk to each other and really feel into this. It's such a beautiful meditation. We have lots of fun, and I love it. I feel like I get really close to you guys when we do those huddle calls. Again, there's also private Facebook where we communicate. We have Soulful Sundays. Now, Soulful Sunday exercises are another meditation, kind of ways to shift your perspective from I'm sick and I'm under and I'm a victim to I'm healing and I'm empowered. So I really want you, I really invite you to do the Soulful Sunday exercises. Very important. So we just hit about the hour mark. You know, I want to say too that, you know, I don't want to scare people off of liver cleanses or gallbladder cleanses. Go for it. I think a big cleanse is fantastic if you have good support around it. I wouldn't do it from a book and then not have support. That's what I'm saying. So we did have written in questions. Let's see what we got here. You guys ready? Mark, you ready for some questions?
I'm ready anytime. And Dana, I got as much time as you need, so you choose.
Yeah, I want people, especially the people that are still thinking about joining, I don't want to overwhelm the people that have joined. Remember, we're going to have another call with Mark. So if you feel like you have a question that popped up, or you don't feel your question was answered here, you will have another chance. So Tatiana says, I'd like to know your opinion for spring gallbladder cleanse on Unda 2+3. Consists of juice from black radish, artichoke, dandelion. Now, radish, keep getting it loud. Radish, artichoke, and dandelion are definitely something that I recommend and that are in these programs. Again, see how you do with these things, but I love Unda formulas. Mark, do you know about this Unda formula?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's their
formulas. I think maybe for Tatiana, we don't know her history. We don't know whether she has headaches or any of those things. I use Spanish black radish in my practice a lot. I use liquid globe artichoke. I use liquid dandelion. I use combination remedies that have those things in them. But I'll tell you my experience. When I muscle test people, I would tell you that 1 out of 10 don't have to have major phase 2 pathway support to go along with it. And I understand Spanish black radish does some of that. But I'm talking about maybe I have to up that a lot, or maybe I have to add in cruciferous. I have to add in something else because those things are powerful. They do a great job. But again, power alone is not going to solve it. And especially, this is just clinical experience. Almost everyone I see, when I tell them that you need to have 2 to 3 good bowel movements a day, full, complete, no gas, no bloating, no distension, no heartburn, I see people all the time that are going every second or third day, and they say, well, it's really good when I go, and I'm going, you can't push a detox pathway with that. And that's the problem, is people, the doctors never told them that that's bad, and some people, when they start going once a day, even though it's a small one, they say, well, I'm now going every day. That's a miracle. So I want people to know that these formulas are wonderful. I like them, but I also like to know that it works for the person, and I don't know Tatiana. I don't know anyone, but I can tell you that if you do a formula and you have a reaction, the formula is not a bad formula. Somebody didn't advise you badly. They just didn't have your history, and they didn't know what you needed to do to prepare to make the formula work effectively for you.
I mean, I would say, again, there's some really powerful foods in that remedy. And, you know, artichokes I love. Artichokes are fantastic. Artichokes are a springtime food, spring into summer even. Radishes are fantastic. Lemons, rosemary. Dandelion. Now, in the food context, not in concentration, that's what I would invite you to look at. Maybe just eating a little bit of the food. Now, Unda, I don't know how concentrated it is. Sometimes Unda has homeopathics, but yeah,
it's a very concentrated formula. But it doesn't. So maybe you start out really, really low in the dose, or just put a drop on your elbow crease or your wrist crease and see if your body reacts. Start low. Don't assume you can do what your best friend or someone recommended.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Just start with a drop. Make sure you got all the other stuff going on. I would always recommend, it's in this program too, a castor oil pack. Beautiful. One of the most beautiful, non-invasive, powerful treatments on this planet. Castor oil pack. Unbelievable. I mean, as soon as that oil hits my skin, it's just healing is starting to happen. So there's videos about that in this session. Someone else asked, why do people with Lyme get fatty liver when I don't drink alcohol or eat sugar? You know, I think we sort of answered that. Poor digestion. Now I want to talk about
can I add a piece to that? Since I brought up NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, that literally, if you start looking in the medical literature, the literature I study, that is one of the most common things we're finding nowadays. And that does not mean you did something wrong. That means you were eating, quote unquote, whatever the thing was you thought was good for you, because almost everyone that sees me is already limiting their diet. I don't see people that are having donuts and coffee. They don't want to spend that kind of money to see me. So, but they're coming in and saying, but I had a woman that's been eating well and doing yoga since 1990, but she's had migraines daily since 1994. She eats perfectly, better than I do, but she has NAFLD from the bad combinations that didn't work for her detox pathways. We're not even getting into running a 23andMe panel. We're not looking at MTFHR. We're not looking at any of those details, but she was eating the perfect diet, and her liver was having a horrible time. And it's like, then she feels bad that she did something wrong. And I'm like, no, your chemistry is unique, and that isn't bad. And now we need to find the unique things that support your chemistry. So people, I only have people that are relatively conscious coming in. I do have people that are not, but they're saying I'm being perfect and I have already been diagnosed with NAFLD, and I'm going, it's now one of the most common things we see. In all my trainings that I study, it is so common among the healthy people. That tells you how toxic our environment is. That tells you how toxic stress is. There's articles showing that NAFLD gets aggravated severely by stress. severely. So you have to add in all these variables and say, I'm not a bad person, I've done nothing wrong, but my life is really hard.
Again, simplify. Okay, so all this seems very complicated, but it's not. So we're going to stop and we're going to simplify. We're opening space. So what that looks like is cleaning out your system. Let's start with hydration. Okay, let's get on a good path of just adding in some good foods once or twice a day, some healthy soups. Really stopping yourself before you go down the anger track or the sadness track, really pulling back, getting present in this moment, knowing that you're totally loved and supported. So all this stuff gets very complicated, and I don't want to take anybody down that road. Things are actually much simpler than we're making it. You know, your body is actually really ready to heal. It is. So I just want to invite you to come in and be inside this beautiful container with us. We will answer your questions. We don't want to make this more complicated for you, but just knowing, like Mark said, you're not a bad person. Getting a fatty liver, all the things we talked about, just the body out of balance. You need to slow down, chew your food, eat less complicated foods, eat smaller amounts of fat in one sitting, right? It's almost, it feels like to me, just going back and reparenting ourselves. Slow it down, simplify, nurture, hold yourself, and take one little thing at a time. I want you to know that's why these programs are so long. So you have time. There's no time crunch. And you own this information. Right? We will release a new week of videos, and then we'll have calls every week. But you will own all this information by the end of the session. So if you're traveling, don't worry. You can jump into Facebook. You can do one or two recipes. By the way, like I said, I'm spending a lot of days in my car, and I'm going to be doing some more camping. So I'm going to give you on-the-go food and things to do. So some tricks. Maybe I'll do a couple videos. So I just really want to pull back, guys, and stay out of fear. You know, one of the things with anger and frustration is it's really at its base is fear. So we're going to work on dissolving all that. Sorry, I'm getting a lot of slapback again. Brent, are you hearing slapback?
Very little. It's okay.
Okay, good.
I'm not hearing a bit.
Oh, good. Okay. Maybe it's just on my end.
Dana, can I add one thing about getting out of fear? Don't listen to all of those people that are technical. That's why I support this program, because everything she's telling you right now and everything that she's teaching in the program supports all the technical stuff that I could back up. That's why I'm always saying to people, you don't need to spend money seeing me. You don't need to spend money seeing anyone. Do the basics first. Do them every day. Make them a regular part of your life. Get relaxed about that. Get a nice, simple pattern that works. That will cut all these things out that we're talking about. Then if you want to add in one little piece, an herb, a remedy, it'll make sense to your body. But you're asking your body to simplify, come back home, get centered, give it the tools it needs. And really, 99% of all the stuff you need is in the program. And then whoever you're seeing can support what the program has really created a baseline for. If you don't have the baseline, spending money on seeing people is a waste of time, because then you'll have a reaction and you'll say, why didn't the remedy work? It's like the baseline is more important than any remedy, any medicine, any homeopathy, any treatment. It matters more than anything we can do.
That's right. Amen. I mean, you know, we talked a lot in the last session about fight or flight and going into a sympathetic state in your nervous system versus a parasympathetic state where you start to rest and digest, and that's where the healing actually happens. So, you know, we're talking a lot about elimination, and again, you could be doing all the perfect things, all the perfect diet, and you're not eliminating because your marriage is stressful or your whatever you're dealing with in life. I can speak to my own life. I went away for 10 days from the heavy stress that I deal with in my life with a family member that's ill. And I went away for 10 days, and I can tell you my elimination changed in 12 hours just being away from the stress and taking care of myself. And I drank some more water, and by, you know, the middle of the week, I was able to do more and more detoxing. So give yourself a break. Come hang out with us. Let's have fun. Let's laugh. Let's enjoy ourselves. That is true medicine. Somebody's asking here, I'm allergic to a bazillion things. Okay. She's looking for protocols for her gallbladder rather than supplements. You know, I can offer...
Do you want me to address
Sure.
Okay. Let's think about the gallbladder and the liver as closest friends. And bile production, Dana mentioned it. This is why the program works. She's trying to do things to help everyone's bowel production get better. And yes, people might have some stones. All those things are possible. But you can slowly bring that back. And if you get your gallbladder functions increased by doing the things that she's going to tell you to do, it will create the detox pathways to be much more effective. So instead of saying, oh, I need a gallbladder remedy, you might, but only if you're working with someone that's competent. But you should all be doing just the basic stuff, just doing the bone broth, just doing Beeler's. You know, those things will make that work. So instead of saying, oh, I need this fantastic remedy that you read something somewhere that this is going to solve everything. Yes, bile production is important, but that doesn't say whether all these other things are working. So instead of, you know, jumping on a remedy, jump on the behaviors, and it will create the room for those remedies to work. So bile matters, but your behaviors matter more.
Right. All these things support it. And of course, there are foods. We know there are foods that help bile, thin bile, produce more bile. You know, artichokes, beets, radishes. Some of the things we mentioned. Anthony Williams says celery juice. It will help in that regard. Maybe try an ounce or two. I don't know. But again, I wouldn't recommend doing big, huge 32 ounces, you know, without getting some guidance. You know, I want to talk about some things, like, just to really simplify. So here's the liver. It's doing a huge amount of work. Liver needs support, right? So indirect support. So that looks like hydration, right? That's getting the colon to move, getting your lymph to move, enzymes, getting your chewing your food so your food is breaking down easier. Getting one of the greatest helpers for the liver too is taking enzymes, digestive enzymes, even taking HCL if you're in a really bad situation with stomach acid, just for a time, just to get until you can build up some more stomach acid. Now, things like bitters are really, really fantastic to help the liver, for one, and also improve digestion. Bitters are fantastic. I think bitters are just amazing. There's a reason why Europeans look the way they do.
Bitters are the source of life. And if you look at it, almost every anti-cancer remedy has a bitter in it. And if you learn to eat bitters, then you'll get off the addiction to sweet and salty, and it will help you get to the place where your cravings don't control you. So I think bitters should be included in every meal. And I would say, and people think I'm talking about taking a supplement. Maybe, but I'm talking about the foods that are more bitter, but people don't want to do that. Almost everybody's going to say, oh, I don't like the taste of it. So if you don't like the taste of it, do it with an herbal supplement. That's fine. But then I always say, if you do an herbal supplement that has bitters, take the pill and suck on it for 10 seconds I'd love it if you sucked on it for 30 seconds or a minute to change your taste buds. But if you can't, just suck on it for 10 seconds. It'll start to change your digestion. It will stimulate the digestive enzymes in your mouth and in your stomach. So, yes, I love bitters. I think they're one of the best things that people have. But, unfortunately, a lot of people won't eat those foods. And I do understand that.
There's bitter foods and there's also bitters, like the liquid.
Herbal bitters.
Herbal bitters, well, herbs and foods. I found some really tasty, you know, you only take a little bit, again, titrate, see what works for you. I'll share some more about that in the session. Hillary's asking, what are the worst daily foods, common foods for the liver? I think we talked about that. Fried foods, bad oils, bad
sugars,
combined
sugars.
Sugar. Okay, now we want to be clear. Not fruit sugar. I don't believe fruit
sugar.
No,
we're never talking about fruit sugar. Never. We're talking about carbohydrate sugars. Yeah.
Right. Especially processed white. You know all those things. But even the healthy foods like vegetable oils, I would be really careful about them. They're not what they look like. Stacey, I'm gonna kind of speed this up because I don't want to be too long. Stacey's asking about liver flukes. You know, I think some of the foods have an effect on liver flukes and parasites, absolutely. But that's a whole other session. We focus on that in the fall. But everything we're talking about here, getting your digestion to work, getting your HCL up is actually your number one defense in parasites. I believe doing some enemas and having good bowel movements will start moving some of the liver flukes, you know, helpful. Yeah, there's a lot there. So let's see. I'm having such trouble reading you guys. I went to my eye doctor, speaking of eyes in the spring session, went to my eye doctor yesterday and he said, oh, I would expect you to be twice as bad, but not four times as bad. I was like, I can't see. And that's because, again, liver congestion, stress. It's like, I can see my eyes have changed and I know I can get it back. Claire says, do you recommend liver flushes? We talked about that. She has chronic inflammation, Lyme, and Candida. Remember about Candida? We talk about Candida with one of the experts, Donna Gates, in this session. My feeling about Candida, don't freak out. Obviously, don't eat normal sugar, poison, a joke. I don't believe fruit is a huge problem. But remember, Candida is coming when the foods are fermenting. So fermented foods, but also when sugars are starting to ferment. So digestion, good digestion, get in some enzymes. What can you do and take for the liver if you're sulfur sensitive? That's a really interesting. So sulfur, cruciferous vegetables are really what's required for good phase two. I actually have a broccoli soup in this one. I like broccoli. Broccoli sprouts are even the most powerful phase two helper. But if you are sulfur sensitive, I would just say do all the other stuff, right? Just do the veggies and the fruits that you know work. They're very hydrating. They will assist you. So if you're sulfur sensitive, don't be going to garlic and onions and cruciferous vegetables yet. I would just do all the other stuff first. You want to add to that, Mark? We got to start going faster.
Yes, I agree with it completely. Let's move on to whatever the next calls you have, or next questions you have. No question.
Okay. So, what if you don't have a gallbladder anymore? Oh, we didn't really get into it, but bile salts are pretty much not even recommended. It's almost like mandatory if you don't have a gallbladder. And
yep.
I would just say stick with the MCT type fats that don't burden your system.
And if they have a bad gallbladder thing, besides doing the bile salts, obviously the FOS food works really well to help dissolve some of the stones slowly. Everything's slow. You don't do things fast. But yes, you can work with the combination of those two and get really good results with any kind of stone.
Yeah, phosphate is a standard process product. Okay, what are the daily things I should do to detox my liver versus concentrated times of liver detox? Well, you got it, Lisa, everything we just talked about here. Any gadgets that you like to support the liver? She's asking about PMFs, red light near infrared. I'm kind of old school. I just like, I like castor oil packs, and use whatever works for you. If you know those machines work for you, that's great. Let's see, Marianne, Mark. I want to begin a liver bile cleanse recommended by my Lyme practitioner. As I know, drainage is key. I experience irritable bowel with sympathetic system is running high. Could you speak to the irritable bowel syndrome, both constipation and diarrhea? What is happening in the body when constipation alternates with diarrhea? Is it solely sympathetic system, or might there be actual structural issues? She says she loves your analysis.
Both, because here's the thing we haven't mentioned, and I'm not going to harp on it. I see people all the time that many people are eating really well, but they have a structural anomaly affecting maybe anywhere from T4 to T7, and that's affecting digestion, affecting the liver. And so if you have palpable sensitivity on one side or the other or both sides of your spine around those areas, and maybe you have limited range of motion, because I know a lot of people in chronic pain do. So you're eating the perfect diet. You're doing everything as perfect as you can. But because your job is a checkout person at Whole Foods, and you're rotating your body, dragging things across that belt every day, you could have some compromise of your structure. It doesn't have to be a trauma. It doesn't have to be a car accident. It can be a behavior that you're doing on a regular basis, or picking up your son or your daughter. You know, you put them on one hip, and it affects that side. So it doesn't have to be an event. It could be a use pattern, and those things can affect function of the organ as much as your biochemistry.
Right. Absolutely. So, you know, pay attention to all that, and, you know, work with a great practitioner. I always recommend osteopaths. But she's asking about irritable bowel syndrome and constipation/diarrhea, and why are they alternating?
Why are they together? Because we don't know what's in your colon that's caused. I would say when I see both of them together, I know there's something off in the colon in terms of probably a pathogen. Yes, it could be structural. That's why I address structure. But once you start getting that on an intermittent basis, somebody can help you with whatever pathogen that is, because that's a normal abnormal response. And so once you handle whatever the pathogen is, the symptoms should go down to either one or the other, and then they should go away.
Yeah, I would say, too, good mineral absorption is going to help both of those. And, you know, diarrhea, as I understand it, is a version of constipation, because your body is just literally going, okay, trying to get it out. It just squeezes everything out. So good hydration with electrolytes, everything we talk about, good mineral absorbed foods, you know, and all the movement we talk about, movement on the inside emotionally, and some good gentle movement. We like dancing, stuff like that. Does Beeler's need to be refrigerated? Yes, it does. When do we drink it and how much? You can drink it any time of day. We're going to start that next week. Start with a cup, start with half a cup, see how you feel. It can be very detoxifying, but it's also very highly absorbed minerals. I want to speak about Beeler's a little bit. Dr. Beeler came up with this soup because it's the most balanced of all the bioavailable minerals. So we know that foods are the best form of minerals. So this is a beautiful sodium, potassium, et cetera, perfect balance. So it's very helpful for, obviously, liver and adrenal and kidney. It's a very nourishing soup. How would you deal with medications while doing a liver cleanse? How often should you do a liver cleanse? Do a big liver cleanse when you're ready. In the meantime, do all these things we're talking about. and just take your medications as indicated. You know, always speak with your doctor about that. Amber says, I can feel my gallbladder a lot of the time. What does it mean? It means it's a little bit stressed and burdened. So, you know.
And you might have a stone if you really do feel your gallbladder. So get someone to check that. There's many ways to check it. They could even check it with muscle testing. And that's not that difficult to check. And obviously somebody can palpate you that knows what they're doing. And it may show up that way.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be afraid of stones. I want to say that because I don't think you need to do some of those heavy gallbladder flushes. I gave this example last year when I went away and I did one colonic and I felt really nauseous after the colonic and I did an enema the next day and gallstones came out. So just opening the floodgates, just getting some movement will start dropping some of those. So if you're feeling that pain, again, get hydrated, take it easy, and really pay attention to what you ate right before you had that pain. Again, bad fats, not a good thing to be eating right now. And I would eat smaller meals more regularly and some lower amounts of fat, for sure.
Amen to the smaller meals. Huge amen to the smaller meals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the other thing. It's like this part of the unburdening is just like, okay, slow it down. We don't need to too much of anything. No more congestion, making space, smaller meals, simplifying. I just want to leave us with, we did go kind of long. I just want to say one of the things that I really am on to right now is rosemary. And rosemary is a very powerful antioxidant and really fantastic for the liver. Now, you don't have to go and take a tincture of rosemary. Where I live, there's rosemary all over the place. So put a little bit in your food. Actually, sprinkle some, I'm actually putting some in lemon juice and water. And so it's kind of like an herby kind of beverage. So they don't have to be concentrated to be effective. So rosemary, also I want people to know, rosemary is very effective and antioxidant for the free radicals that are formed from EMF exposure. It's one of the indicated treatments for EMF exposure. So we'll talk more about rosemary and I'll get some recipes out there. We don't even need recipes. Just throw it in your food. So let's just go over liver buddies. I wrote down liver's buddies. Get your enzymes up, you know, take digestive enzymes if you need to. Some raw foods that like fruits and vegetables. I don't recommend raw vegetables. Let me back up. Some fruits that are very highly enzymatic can be very helpful. Bile salts, if your gallbladder is struggling, really getting your HCL to work. You can maybe supplement with HCL for a while, but bitters is fantastic. Lemon, hydration, good sodium, so the celery juice can be helpful. Remember, Beeler's has celery in it. It's cooked, so it might not be as powerful, but it still has the sodium that you're looking for. So, and more greens, more water, fruit and veg. Fruits have the best water on the planet, structured water, so don't forget about your fruits. Castor oil packs and processing your emotions. So I invite you into this session. Come play with us. Enjoy yourself. Let's have some fun and we can all do it together. I thank you too for being here. I thank all of you for being on the call with us today. Brent, we're gonna keep it open till Tuesday. Monday's
okay.
A holiday.
That's right.
Okay, so Tuesday, we'll keep it open for new people to get in. And Tuesday, we'll also release another week for the members that are in now. So remember, guys, we have a lot of time together. There's no pressure. We always say if you can do one thing every day, it can be make really great changes. So I'm actually starting to get hot in my car, like a little doggy. So thank you. Thank you for being with me. And I hope you have a beautiful day. So
thank you, Dana. Right. Thank you, Brent. I appreciate your willingness to support people through all these problems.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark. We'll talk to you again in this session.
You got it.
Okay. All right. Have a good one.
Take care. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.